And this hour, your phone calls, especially some of those stories if you've had children who have lost fingers and they have regenerated. I want to hear about that. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll have your phone calls and our guest, Dr. Steve Hultiwanger, this hour. Steve, what was it specifically that got you interested in this form of medicine, if that's accurate to say that? Is it medicine?
Yes, it's electromedicine. I'll be honest, what got me interested was when I first came across some of Robert O. Becker's works back in the late 1970s, early 1980s.
All right, he's the one. Let's go to some phone calls. You ready?
Yes.
West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George, this is Jay in Daly City.
That's in California.
Yeah, right outside San Francisco.
Absolutely. Hi, Jay.
Hi. I want to ask Steve if he's heard of transcranial magnetic stimulation and how effective is it?
Well, it's been around for some years now. The problem with transcranial magnetic stimulation is you're using a hammer when what you need to be using is a whisper. It does have some benefits, but it's a very powerful effect, and it's been used now for depression as well as some pain control, and I think they're also doing some research seeing that whether it can help with epilepsy. But you're using a very strong magnetic field. I mean, that's a very powerful end. You can go the other end and look at Jerry Jacobson's work on pico-Tesla fields, where he's going exactly the opposite, using very weak magnetic fields and also achieving improvement.
Well, I mean, is this safer than electroconvulsive therapy?
Yes, I would say so.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Thanks, guys.
All right, appreciate it, Jay. Listen to this one from May in Washington. George, my sister was born premature, and she was born without any thumbs. They grew after she was born, and she has perfectly normal hands now. In fact, she plays the piano. Imagine if her thumbs had never grown. Now, that's an incredible story. Why don't we hear a lot about this, Steve?
Well, what we're looking at is pattern formation. We're looking at the body. The body has a magnetic field extending out into space, but what you have are electrical fields and magnetic fields, and what you're seeing was those tissues had not completely formed, but the pattern was there. It's like the old Carillion photos where you cut a leaf and the image is still there when you go back and check it again.
Right. East of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, good morning. Wayne here in Ontario, Canada.
Hi, Wayne. Thank you.
George, Steve, this is a quite fine show. I wanted to point out something of Robert O. Becker's work that would help those that want to get in on what, in fact, is the main essence of his work, and that's the induced dedifferentiation. You might want to check that out as a title, Induced Dedifferentiation, in a journal called Neural Rehabilitation, Volume 17, 2002. And when I segue, your screener can get a number from me so you can call Robert O. Becker at home and maybe have an interview at some point.
Okay, sure thing.
I'm very much interested in the flip side of some of what Dr. Becker has been doing in terms of diagnosis. And that's the work of Brian Josephson, who won a Nobel Prize in Physics for the shortest physics paper on tunneling and the Josephson junction, which is the basis of this phenomenal technology called SQUID, or Superconducting Quantum Interference Device Technology, the most sensitive bioelectromagnetic measuring technology known to man. That technology far surpassing nuclear magnetic resonance and other techniques because of the sensitivity of it. And what one wants to do is develop the imaging technology to go with it so you can measure the ionic structure, the very interaction of quantum mechanical particles in the brain. That's where we should be headed. And I think Brian Josephson's revelations as to what, in fact, is going on in the core aspects of the brain is important. He's now at Cambridge looking at paranormal research and things of that sort, even though his background is in physics and has won some very prestigious awards in connection with his work. What would Steve have to say about the flip side, the diagnosis of these very subtle elements in our system?
Oh, I think if we had squids at different hospitals right now around the country, people would be discovering all types of phenomenon as well as ways of interacting, and you'd have a way of looking at things in real time. That's what's exciting to me is the real-time information you could do, but you have to have the proper rooms built, and then you have to have the equipment. But if they were mass produced, they certainly would volume would come down.
On the microfabrication, the nanotechnology that George talked about earlier, the hope has been for years that you can actually microfabricate the squid technology so that you can get the helmet array that was in the Firefox movie directed by Clint Eastwood or Natalie Wood's last show, Brainstorm. Mm-hmm. That all is possible now because of the microfabrication. That avails psycho-interaction with computer systems. In fact, there was an award given to someone in 1982, Harold Weinberg, at the Simon Fraser University's neurobiomagnetism lab for the first ever contract for psychoactivated computer interface based on this particular kind of application. We're talking 1982. You can find that in CompUS 1982 September edition. And that really reveals how phenomenal that technology has been even back then in terms of its use in its interaction with computers. So you can actually think of a word and it would come on the screen because it's based on something that Dr. Donald York did at the University of Missouri Medical Center. It's a phenomenal technology, but it's very, very sensitive. And I agree in response to your last caller that you have to move to the very subtle. We've gone beyond the very bulbous approach to the use of bioelectromagnetism, so you get into the picotesla fields and things that are very, very sensitive, because that's where it is in terms of Robert O'Becker and Brian Josephson. The gross applications are out the window. You have to get down to the real fine aspects of what this all means.
Steve, where are we on the pecking order in this country with this kind of technology in medicine?
Well, it's slow. You know, there are other countries, some of the Eastern European countries now are you know, bringing that into their public hospitals and doing research there. So we're a little bit, we're behind the curve right now on this, but it's more and more people are looking at it.
Okay, let's go to our west of the first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Jill from Richmond, Virginia.
Hi, Jill. Thanks for calling.
I love your shows, every single one of them.
Thank you.
And I have a question for the doctor there. My dad, he has stomach cancer really bad and has been told that there's nothing else that they can do. And I was wondering if there was some sort of program or anything that could be done as far as reversing stomach cancer cells. And I'll listen offline.
Well, that's a very broad question. I mean, there are so many different ways of approaching that. I would have to say that I would recommend investigating the local resources in my area, looking for people involved in complementary and alternative medicine and having an interview with them. But there's not just one thing you can do that's going to solve this problem. You're looking at toxicity issues, anything from viral to infectious processes that have to be addressed. And so you need somebody that can look at it holistically.
Well, one of the things, though, that we should do, I kind of like this idea, is you pick up, one of these little reader meters and just walk around your house in any area that has this strong current, try to avoid it, change it?
Yes. I had an individual had to rewire his entire building.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you also get readings in from just the wires in the walls?
Yeah. He found when he went through his building, he has these tremendous surges, and he had an electrician come out that had wired his building wrong.
So what happens if we go to bed with aluminum hats? Would that work?
I don't know about that one.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Good evening, George. Salutations, Dr. Steve.
Thank you, sir.
You were talking earlier this evening about walking across streetlights and making them go off.
Yes.
Well, due to the fact I'm a diabetic, I'm hyperglycemic. And every time that my glucose count gets close to about 480, which is real high, I actually blow out streetlights. In the process, I get major headaches. How can I control this?
Well, that's an interesting phenomenon. I was doing it when driving my car when I saw this happening. With the diabetic control, there's so many things you need to be doing, including go to a website called glucotize.com. And that's got a good information on some diabetic control that you can look at. But from electrical equipment, I've had some success with people looking on improving cell capacitance. And you can do this with phototherapy equipment as well as some other types of magnetic field therapies that are available now in certain places. But from your point of view, you need to control your oxidative stress. And you also need to get an exercise program and get somebody to sit down with you on your dietary choices and see whether or not you're eating a diet improper to your condition.
Well, I'm running the South Beach diet right now, and I'm using insulin. And every time I bring it down to the normal level, this doesn't happen. When it comes up real high, it actually starts to happen. I can't even touch my wife sometimes because I actually shock her sometimes.
You may want to talk to your doctor about getting an insulin pump, which would give you more finer control.
Okay, thank you. I would greatly appreciate it. I appreciate the information.
All right, thanks. Appreciate that. We've got a fast blast message in from Hanford in East Aurora, New York. Says he was diagnosed with prostate cancer last March, soon facing radioactive seeding. What can you tell him about this, doctor?
Well, I wrote a book that's on the web called The Electrical Properties of Cancer Cells. You can look that up. And by going to Electrical Properties of Cancer Cells on Google, just type in the search engine, that phrase, and it'll come right up. From prostate, you're going to have to look at moving your lymphatic tissue. Things like rebounders will help get good drainage. Prostate has very poor circulation. There's a number of books on the market now on prostate health. I'd recommend doing that. I'd recommend talking to a naturopathic doctor or a doctor in complementary alternative medicine to get a dietary program, work with your regular physician and coordinate that. You need to have everybody coordinating together. You just can't go up and do one thing.
Wildcard Line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I had a question that I think was almost answered in the last couple of questions about what to do if you have a lot of electricity. I know a lot of people that know already that they have a lot of electricity because they're always, getting shocked by the doorknob or shocking other people and also throwing off watches and stuff like that. But is there something... is it always going to be something that's, related to something else physical, or how can they, prevent getting shocked a lot?
Well, I think part of it's related to the cell membrane capacitance. Every cell in your body is a capacitor, and that's determined by the strength of that is determined by the lipids of the membrane, which are the fats in your diet, and the mineral concentration. So one thing I'd recommend is looking at getting all the trans fatty acids out of my diet completely and having increased omega-3 fatty acids in the diet, as well as olive oil, and then getting a good vitamin mineral supplementation program. This may help balance that electrical field process.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, appreciate that. Do you recommend everybody go and get some kind of blood test, just a checkup to find out exactly what your chemistry's like?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're having a serious condition like this, yes. But you want to start with your basic electrolytes and standard lab tests. But also, you want to get into your other minerals. Most doctors don't check magnesium, and 50% of the population is running around with borderline magnesium levels. And so that takes some specialized testing to look at that.
Okay, next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Don in Chicago.
Hi, Don. Go ahead, sir.
I was wondering, someone with progressive MS, are there any electrotype therapies for this?
There's a guy named Sandick. I'm trying to remember how to spell his name. If you look up MS and electromagnetic fields, you'll probably hit his website or his work. Jerry Jacobson was also doing work on this with Picotesla fields. And so there's been some research in this area.
Has it been effective?
I actually have been involved in, as a consultant, I can't release that at the present time, looking at using magnetic fields and nutrients at the same time, because if you use the proper magnetic field, a very weak field, you can actually improve flow through the blood-brain barrier as well as the uptake of nutrients by cell neurons. And so if you do a laboratory testing, find out what deficiencies are present, and then correct that particular for that individual, it might be very different from one person to another, then using the device properly, you could improve the nutrient uptake, and we've seen some neurological improvements that way.
And what was this website again?
I don't have the website, but I can tell you, look up multiple sclerosis and electromagnetic fields, and you're looking for a guy named Sandick.
Okay.
Well, does magnetic therapy work?
Oh, yes, it has a great deal. If I was going to do one thing, I would look at cranial electrical stimulation.
What is that?
Oh, well, that is where you actually put electrodes on the acupuncture points on the ear. And this has actually been FDA approved now. So this is something, there's a company called AlphaStim. Let me give you two websites. One is alphastim.com. The secondly, let me correct the LifeWave thing. If you call the LifeWave, want to get information, it's lifewave.com/sweetpea.
Sweet pea. Why sweet pea?
Well, because if you want to order the products, you have to order it through some distributor. And so that would give you an entry to being able to order that way.
Oh, all right.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. But AlphaStim is a very good product line, and what that does is you can there's actually a lot of information on the web now, as well as medical journals, on cranial electrical stimulation. And what it does is it actually improves neurotransmitter release as well as endorphin release. It's used for pain control, anxiety, and depression. It's quite effective.
Any studies out there with regards to people who work in electrical power plants?
Yes, there's been a number of people who've looked at that over the years and looking at nervous conditions, neurological conditions, as well as associational problems with things like migraines. So I actually had a case of that, an electrical technician who had terrible anxiety disorder, and he was one of these people that repaired the transformers.
Mm-hmm.
And when I evaluated him, he had several minerals out of balance, particularly magnesium. He was also low in B12 and folic acid. And he'd been seeing therapy every week for 10 years. And after the first session, I gave him a magnesium shot, a B12 shot, and a folic acid shot. I'd ordered the blood work first, but I'd already thought what he might have. And he was better by 3 weeks. I mean, he was like, I did saw him once a year after that. I mean, it's like we had him knocked out at the beginning of the time.
And then just a little maintenance.
Yes, that was it.
First time caller line. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Rob. I'm calling from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Rob.
Yes, I'm not sure if you're familiar, but if you've ever heard of BioScan Technologies.
BioScan?
Yes.
I am not. How about you, Steve?
I think I've run across that. Just refresh me, though.
What it is similar to the squid you're talking about. It's a electrical, having the ability to scan the meridian points on your hand and actually getting a full body scan down to the cellular level.
Oh, you're talking about using the 24 acupuncture points and getting a graphical reading?
Yeah, it's actually developed by Dr. Roy Curtis. Yeah. He's been working on it for over 30 years. Actually, I have been doing BioScan Tech for a little while now, and you can do amazing things with it. It fits in very well with your electrotherapies. I actually received some of the LifeWave product last Friday, and having the ability to do a value test to find out how well it incorporates or how well your body is able to use this, that stuff is phenomenal.
Thank you.
You know, it's really good stuff. BioScan, actually, what you can do is you can do allergy testing, you can do energetic testing, you can do rebalancing. You can test cellular levels of organs and.
Well, you're looking at what electroacupuncture according to Vol or electrodermal screening is what I think you're talking about.
Electrodermal.
Okay.
You've got on a laptop is a full medical lab.
That is under review by the FDA, and I have actually used that type of equipment in my office for when I had my medical practice going for about 15 years. I did have some benefit with it, but I would have to. From my point of view, correlate that with laboratory testing from my licensure point of view. I couldn't just go by that to treat, although a lot of people do. I think it has to be correlated, though, with laboratory testing. It does give you valuable information, though.
All right, we'll be back in a moment with more calls with our guest, Dr. Steve Holtiwanger on Coast to Coast AM. Left side of the coasttocoastam.com website, there's an icon there for Art's webcam. Well, about an hour ago. Take a look at what he saw somewhere out there. Back in a moment. And welcome back. I'm George Norrie. Your phone calls with our guest, Dr. Steve Holtiwanger. As we continue now on Coast to Coast, Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome, and where are you calling from?
This is Mike from Texas.
Hi, Mike, go ahead. Take it away.
Hello. Dr. Steve, this is Mike O'Grady here.
Oh, hey, Michael O'Grady.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
George.
Yeah.
You have no idea what kind of national treasure you have on the air right now as far as health and healing is concerned to the American public. Dr. Steve Haltewanger is a good friend of mine, for one thing, and I stayed up very late, and I'm yawning as I speak.
Hold on.
Hold on what?
Well, I don't fall asleep.
Oh, no, I won't fall asleep, but Dr. Steve is one of their premier researchers. He actually knows more than me as far as electronic medicine goes.
Who are you?
Well, I am, my name is Mike O'Grady. I am, we call me the electric pain doc. What I do is we work with equipment from Germany that cures. In America, we can't say we cure cancer. We just can't say that. Okay, so we send patients to Germany to cure cancer, and our success rate is in the high 90 percentile.
With machinery?
With electronic medicine.
Uh-huh.
Which is exactly what Dr. Steve is talking about.
Sure.
And when he talks about the Alpha Stim, which is the most accurate microcurrent stimulator in the world at this point in time, he is exactly right that little device will we use it to get kids off of Ritalin and adults off of Prozac and like that. So it's very, very accurate. But electronic medicine is the way to go. And so I just wanted to call in since Steve didn't call me and tell me he's going to be on the show. I just I found it secondhand, so I'm going to have to spank him later. But I had to call in and verify who he was. You just have no idea what a national icon you have in the health field with Dr. Steve Haltewanger.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And there's a ultimate compliment there for you, Steve.
Well, thank you.
Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, good morning, George. How you doing today?
Good. I'm doing fine. Thanks.
That's good. This is Chris from California, north of the Bay, up here in Windsor.
Yeah.
Spoke to you in the past.
Sure.
You were talking about the kids who had lost their phalanges, their fingertips, and they regrew. And you said basically the children have that ability. There's one thing that you guys may not be aware of, however Dr. Steve may be, and that is on my way to medical school, I had lost my spleen along with other injuries, and they had to remove it to save my life. It turned out 3 years later I had to have an ultrasound done, and it found, when I got the results back, they said in there, note that the spleen was in perfect condition.
What?
Yes.
You grew a spleen back?
That's correct.
That's incredible.
So us adults do have the ability to do grow certain things back, which I wanted to share with everybody.
This is the concept of adult de-differentiation. This is the pivotal part of Becker's work, showing that organs can be regenerated, limbs can be regenerated. We have the capability, and the mechanism of turning it on is electrical. Now we have to figure out how to do it. We know it can be done. How do we do it?
Well, and the other part, though, is in some cases, like your liver, you need it from the get-go. So if it fails, you either better grow one back pretty darn fast or you're a goner. So what do you do about situations like that, Steve?
Well, up to the liver is one of the most self-regenerating organs in the body. Bone self-regenerates, as does the liver. And if you look at salamanders, you can actually regenerate half their heart. You can cut half their heart out and it regenerates in 4 hours.
In full.
So basically, cells have the ability to regenerate. A more advanced species like man has slower regenerative processes limited to certain organ systems, but they're now finding that basically any tissue can regenerate. They're now finding brain can regenerate.
Is it true that scar tissue is stronger than the original tissue?
Not all the time. Sometimes it can be, but it doesn't have the integrity. It doesn't have the vascularity and doesn't have the functionality.
All right. Well, wild card line, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Sean from Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, great show, by the way.
Thank you.
The reason I was calling, my son was born with club feet, and his feet were badly misshapen. And what they did was, he was, 4 months old. They cut the tendons on the back of the ankle.
Oh, my.
And then they were able to, an adult, you just crippled them if it was an adult.
Yeah.
But with a young child, young infant, they were able to move his feet to the correct position and cast them.
How did you feel? How did you feel when they were telling you they were going to perform that procedure?
Well,
it's kind of scary, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, but his feet were badly misshapen enough that if they didn't, they wouldn't have walked.
Right, I understand. Okay.
And it was really hard, though, with a four-month-old, but they put the casts on, and weeks later, when they take the casts off, the feet are almost the correct shape now, and he walks and is doing great. But
that's good.
But like I say, an adult, you would have just crippled them for life by cutting that tendon. But he was 4 months old, and they just regrew.
Do children, Steve, do their parts, I guess, do they grow back faster?
Yes, absolutely. Now, one thing, we can actually help promote growth in humans by giving the right spectrum of amino acids, and gelatin is one of the best sources, particularly if you can get Argentinian or Brazilian, where there's grass-fed. That has almost a full spectrum of amino acids and is probably going to turn out to be much more superior than soy or whey as an amino acid source. But what it does, it gives you all the material to repair bone and ligaments and tendons.
Isn't it interesting how there are solutions to the ills on this planet? They're out there.
Yeah.
Just got to find them. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
And Dr. Steve, just a little footnote there to the gentleman that was just on about his son with the club feet. My son's had a congenital heart disease called tetralogy of Fallot, and where he had artery problems, and the body, to compensate for lack of flow to in the proper arteries, will construct arteries on its own to bypass the original ones and help out a little bit. So I just thought I'd pass that on. But what I want to mention too, when you're saying about the color TVs in the old days, how much radiation they would
throw off, yeah.
Now, we sit off, I'm thinking now, you talk about sitting close to screens in proximity. When you were at a computer, mm-hmm. we're sitting, you know, a foot or two feet away sometimes and staring at this thing for many hours in the day. Is there much radiation thrown off in these?
Yes, there's quite a bit. You can look up some of the work on a computer screen and radiation, and people associating that with chronic fatigue syndrome as well as headache disorders and stress disorders. You can actually find changes in the immune cells as well as in the cortisol levels after exposure for long periods of time.
How about LCD screens? Are they okay?
I believe they're probably putting out a lot lower amount of because that liquid crystal technology doesn't require quite as much electronic.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
But you still should push them as far back as possible.
But then you can't see them, Steve.
That's why they have that increased font size.
First-time caller line, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Dawn from Utah.
Hi, Dawn. Go ahead.
And I actually have a question for your friend.
All right.
About my dad. He started out with a basal cell carcinoma on the top of his head. They, instead of just cutting it out, they did radiation on him. And then where the basal cell was, a squamous cell grew. Then they scraped it out. And now another one has come back. And I was just wondering if there was any suggestions that he could give us that we could do on our own to help this from coming back. We're at a loss, and the doctors, they just keep cutting and cutting, and I'm just afraid that they're just going to have this big gaping hole in the top of my father's head, and they don't seem to know where it's coming from or what's causing it and why it would go from one form to another.
Well, I'll give you a couple of websites that'll give you some background information first. One is called Rife, R-I-F-E-F-O-R for Life, rifeforlife.com or introductiontorife.com, which will give you some information about different types of energy medicine techniques. As far as the work with squamous cells, Becker has shown with impregnated nylon with silver with the proper electrodes that there's some improvements. You can look at some of his work. Put in Robert O. Becker on Google and then put in cancer. You should hit a couple of websites that talk about his newer research with impregnated silver nylon with electromagnetic DC current technologies. And he actually, I think in his last book, Cross Currents, talked about treating a couple of skin cancers with that particular technique. So you might want to pick up the book Cross Currents by Robert O. Becker.
Okay.
All right, hope that helps you, and good luck for your father. That's got to be a rough situation. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. I have a couple of questions. One is about, have you heard of the Diasign pad? Many years ago, I had a Diasign pad, and the manufacturer was in Pasadena, California, and the FDA put them out of business, and I had marvelous results from this, and I don't know what it was, electromagnetic energy or what. If you hung it in midair, it never got hot, but when you leaned up against it, it got hot. And the other thing I wanted to know was about applied kinesiology, which my former naturopathic doctor used, which was also terrific. And I was at a convention, and I was showing someone about this massage thing that she did, and a man came up to me, and he said that this was a massage technique, clapped his two hands together, and transferred energy to either side. Can you explain all these three things?
Well, yes, I've heard of that pad, but I don't know anything about it beyond I've got a large database of about 143,000 articles, and I have run across that name and looking
for that patent has run out.
Hmm?
The patent has run out. It was an Italian patent.
Okay. Let me see the next one. Let's see, applied kinesiology.
Right.
There are a number of people around the country, around the world, actually, teaching that type of technique. It has both proponents as well as detractors. I've seen therapists be very effective with it when well-trained. With the applying energy, hands-on healing has been around for as long as humankind
sure.
has been around. I mean, that is in all cultures. And the research is now showing that the body puts out off the hands not only infrared but also microwave, FM radiation, ALF radiation. So we're putting out a lot of frequencies out of the hand, and this gets into the concept of polychromatic therapy, where people who are sick literally will have a deficiency of, say, a energy frequency, and they can actually absorb it from another person. This kind of gets into the concept of what we used to call psychic leeching, where a therapist would work with a patient who was very disturbed, and after they walked out of the room, they literally felt like they were going to pass out. They
were
so exhausted.
Can we find out that information on your website?
Oh, I don't have a website per se. I am the research coordinator for the LifeWave company, but I don't have a website. I'm so busy. I wouldn't.
But you can Google search, I guess, right?
Excuse me?
Yes, you can search that through her search engine.
Oh, yeah, you could search up, I think my paper on electrical properties of cancer, which is on several websites, has a section on the psychic leaching phenomenon.
West of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, Dr. Steve. My name is Jerry. I'm from Anchorage, Alaska.
Hi, Jerry.
I have a close friend that has a muscle degenerative disorder called inclusion myositis, and I was wondering if Dr. Steve could... if any of his electromagnetic therapy would work for that.
There's a couple of patents that just came out with the doctors looking at using electromagnetic therapies to break up inclusions in muscle as well as nerve tissue. I don't know if the equipment's on the market. I just ran across it the other day looking up torsional fields. But the research is showing that the proper frequencies can actually break these inclusions out. And the patent said that it could be useful for treatment for anything from myositis to Alzheimer's, as theoretically at least. So the people are looking at this, because what you're looking at with these inclusions are proteins folded in the wrong way, and proper resonant energy can actually unfold them again.
International Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. So nice to talk to you both.
Thank you.
Doctor?
And where are you, by the way?
It's Mary calling from Toronto.
Okay, Mary, go ahead.
Doctor, I have degenerative disc disease and a lot of pain in my neck, and I sleep on a heating pad all night long to try and help the pain. Does that interfere with my sleep electromagnetically?
Is it an electrical heating pad?
Yes.
No, you do not want to be doing that.
Oh, dear.
Not by going to sleep.
No, it's not really good for the body. The energy coming off that is first off, is the wrong power density. You're putting in way too much of the wrong kind. You're putting in 60 hertz signal. It's just really disrupting. What you want to do is you want to look at something like a microcurrent therapy or cranial electrical stimulator therapy. There, you can find this on the web. Look up microcurrent therapy or cranial electrical stimulators. That's what you want to be looking at. Also, you're a good case for looking at having your doctor check you for manganese deficiency, because that is associated with degenerative disease, as well as infections in the bowel. Some of the pathogenic bacteria in the bowel actually secrete proteins and cause an inflammatory reaction in the spine. And so you might want to look at having your stool checked for pathogenic bacteria and possibly getting on probiotics to change that.
They're talking now about nanobacteria in your system as well, Steve.
You go back to Royal Rife looking at bacteria and cells. You're looking at Alan Cantwell's work. You're looking at Virginia Livingston Wheeler's work. All this has been around for years. It's just been laughed at.
Well, that's the thing. Why? Why does mainstream medicine, you know, just push this stuff away?
Can you give me 2 minutes? I'll describe it.
It's yours.
All right. Well, with science, what you've got is you've got people think it's all about truth-seeking and finding, but what we're looking at with science is you have facts, you have opinion of authorities, and then what I call other considerations. These are political, commercial, security, and religious interests. So what happens is if you have something that's going against orthodoxy or it's coming up and interfering with somebody else's already established commercial interest, it's not funded.
Well, okay. I tell you what, you've got one more hour to go, and we've got jammed phone lines, so we'll take final phone calls when we come back at the top of the hour. Again, your website that is called lifewave.com, and then you
forward
also
slash
say
sweet pea.
Sweet pea. All right.
And if they can't get through on that, then go to Paradyne, PYRADYNE.com. Try the first one first, and then they can try the second one to get through.
Okay, those of you on hold, don't hang up. You'll lose your place in line. You don't want to lose that. And also, we've been talking about the incredible work of Robert O. Becker, The Body Electric. I am still shaking my head over the ability of young children to grow back fingers. That is just, I've just never heard of that before. The regeneration, it is truly remarkable indeed. Have you ever known anybody directly that has grown back a body part?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
What does the body part look like?
It was an adult who grew back a finger.
And does it look like a finger?
Oh, it looks perfectly fine.
It's not smaller?
It was normal size. This was outside the country.
Man, that's something else. Okay, stay with us. Dr. Steve Halte-Wenger, our guest, the rest of your phone calls as well on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back for one more final hour, and then I'll tell you at the end of the night what you can expect for the rest of the week on Coast to Coast AM.